It's largely happening because dominant forces, dominant ideologies, dominant world powers, dominant economic powers, dominant economic beliefs are now being disrupted by new collaborations, new partnerships. And that in and of itself is the root of the conflict. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Fast Forward podcast. I'm so excited to welcome you to season 5, and I'm really excited about this opening topic, which is conflict management. Now, this is interesting because at the time I'm filming this, stuff is heating up all over the world in business, in politics, etc. And I'm pretty sure that's only going to escalate by the time I actually post up these episodes. I think it's an excellent time to consider the science of conflict management and also the art. So how can you apply principles of good conflict management to how you interact with your colleagues, with your loved ones, with strangers, and how you interact with systems? So I wanted to take this opening episode to really define conflict management, share some models and some theory, and then talk a little bit about how it applies to these different areas of our lives. Now, y'all know I love a good definition, so I had to take a lot of notes. You're gonna see me flipping through notebooks, tabs, etc. Bear with me, but this is gonna be a fun one. I was thinking about the definition. Of course, you know, conflict management, especially when it deals with business or business related relationships. So this could be work. If you are in college or high school, sometimes elementary school, they'll talk about conflict management, but that's largely a work setting. But there were actually three different paradigms that I've learned conflict management over the years. And I actually wanted to introduce them to you all because I thought that it would be important to see it show up in different ways as you think about how you want to apply the best practices. So the three ways that I was considering conflict management are through the lens of philosophy, political science, and business. So we are going to start with philosophy. So the philosophical thought or definition of conflict management is, The overarching definition of conflict management is the process of sorting through disagreement in order to reach a conclusion. Yes, how the process of you sorting through disagreement to reach a conclusion. Now, how you approach it, how you have dialogue about that, how you make decisions, who gets to take priority, that all is where it starts to differ. So from a philosophical perspective, and now I'm going to get into the three paradigms. In philosophy, conflict management largely falls under two schools of thought. There is the Lockean school of thought, which is pretty much like majority rules. And this was created by John Locke. If you are familiar with poli sci, you are quite familiar with John Locke. He wrote so many things that we use every day in our political and economic systems. And then there is the Hegelian methodology or school of thought. And that is created by George Hegel. I believe I'm pronouncing that correct. So George Hegel largely looked at it as almost like a fight to resolution. So it's the idea that you have these opposing opinions, and through dialogue and challenging and conversation and picking apart, you then reach a conclusion based on breaking down each other's arguments. So again, the Lockean method is majority rules. Then you have the Hegelian method, which is we gonna work this thing out by fighting our way through and challenging arguments. Now, there is not necessarily a right or a wrong way to approach it philosophically. However, when you think about who you are experiencing conflict with and what's your goal for resolving the conflict, I think that that's gonna make a huge difference and how you approach that from a philosophy lens. Conflict management from a political science lens, I was digging deeper into this, especially again, just because of the political climate and what is happening in the global economy what is happening as far as global political conflict, even religious conflict, etc. And as I see folks arguing online and talking online, I'm like, something not landing right. So when you think about conflict management from a political science lens, this is where you start to consider a concept called hegemony. I think I've talked about hegemony on the channel before. I have to look back. But hegemony is a concept that I learned in sociology in undergrad. Shout out to the University of Michigan, Go Blue. And we talked about hegemony because it's this idea of dominance as the norm or the standard. And hegemony is interesting because you don't always realize that you are operating in what are called hegemonic norms until a subculture or less dominant culture or view asserts its either right to independence or its right to dominance. And then that's when you realize, like, oh, this disruption is based on the fact that I was expected to only operate in a particular way. And so when you think about a lot of the political and economic disruptions that are happening now, it is largely happening because dominant forces, dominant ideologies, dominant world powers, dominant economic powers, dominant economic beliefs are now being disrupted by new collaborations, new partnerships. And that in and of itself is the root of the conflict. That is important because, number one, as business leaders, business owners, founders, we need to know how to navigate that because we likely started our careers and have shaped our careers and our business decisions based on hegemony. And now we need to learn new ways of doing things. But also because we are upholders of the system through the decisions that we make. And if these norms of hegemony are being disrupted, we need to understand not just the impact on us, but the role we play in standing up and maintaining these systems. So that's the political science lens. The third lens is through business. And so if you have taken any courses in like employee relations, or they talk about it a lot in business leader trainings, sometimes new manager trainings, you learn about conflict management styles, and there are five. And this is through the Thomas Kilman model. The Thomas and Kilman, so both thinkers who collaborated to create this model, they both talk about both the political science and the philosophical lens that I mentioned earlier. So when you do your research, you'll find tons of resources from them, and lots of other papers too. I would encourage you to do that research. I know I love to recommend some new stuff to y'all. So there are five approaches. They are collaborating, competing, accommodating, avoiding, and compromising. And we're going to talk more about those in just a second. Let's actually start at the philosophical lens, and then we'll move to poli sci, and then we'll go to business. So going back to that conversation around philosophy with the Lockean versus Hegelian methods, when you think about the idea that the majority opinion rules, a great example of that would be elections. I'm not going to get into all of the shenanigans, but what I will say is I think that elections, not just in the United States, but also in other countries, have shown us that it is not always in the best interest or long-term interest to just go straight off of what the majority says. There are times where we need to challenge opinions, where we need to challenge ideologies, where we need to challenge long-held beliefs. And even more than challenging, we need to dig into the why behind it. So if I say something like, well, I just want to keep my costs low as an entrepreneur, let's dig into why that is. Oh, it's because I want to maximize profits. Okay, well, at whose expense? Because if you are maximizing profit, that means that money is potentially being taken away from what you either pay people or invest in things or invest in a community. So what is the cost of you making that choice? When we only take decisions at face value and allow people to get away with just saying, yep, we should do this, or nope, we shouldn't do this, we miss the dangers and the risks of that why. And the why matters. why people make the choices they make, why people vote the way they do, why people speak to people the way they do, why people choose to buy things the way they do, buying habits, how they buy, who they buy, how they use it. All of that matters. And I think for a long time, especially in this country, we have just taken this mindset of like, oh, live and let live. You know, when people did it, they can do what they want. That's their choice. But choices have consequences. And if we're not willing to examine the why, we're going to end up in some of the situations that we're experiencing now. But on the other side, when we think about the Hegelian method, which is all about that why, let's dig into the assumptions. Let's pick apart the argument. Root of opposition leaves very little room for not only collaboration, but also it leaves very little room for evolution. Because every opinion is not one side or the other, right? It's not always polarized. And especially when you start understanding the why, you're going to find that you're moving closer to the middle with every assumption that you dig into. I'm finding, especially as I have sought to take my business global, that understanding all the nuances of the why makes just as much of a difference as the why itself. And I'm learning to not make judgments too quickly as I sort through the underlying assumptions in each part of people's argument. So essentially what I'm saying is that the Lockean method isn't always right and the Hegelian method isn't always right. You have to find some middle ground. Secondly, now let's talk about the poli-sci lens, which is that when you think about from a worldview, I mentioned earlier, decisions have consequences, and I'm knowing that you've heard this a million times, but those consequences aren't always just the first and second degree consequences. I'll never forget, it was an experience where I was working in a house, and I had to advise a C-suite leader, and I told this person, you are just looking at, this is what I want, and then this is going to be the direct consequence. But you are not looking at the fourth and fifth degree consequences, and that's where the danger is going to come. And it might take you 18 months to get the consequence on the fourth and fifth level, but when it does, it's going to be like a hammer has fallen on your company. Forced ain't listen, and I skedaddled up out of there. But I advise business leaders this all the time. Don't just look at if I do A, then B will happen. If I do A, then B, and then C will happen. Some of the things that we're experiencing now, whether it is with extreme weather events, mass events with public health, mass economic collapse, this stuff has been 30, 40 years in the making. Like, there are things that they talk about now that I'm like, didn't they start talking about that when I was like 7 or 8? And so the fact that people have been kind of kicking the can down the road with the consequences, eventually you're going to have to pay up. You're going to have to pay up. And so we have to be very mindful, again, from the poli-sci lens of when you manage conflict, that you're not just managing the immediate conflict. You're not just managing the immediate conflict of ideas, conflict of who wins, who loses, who benefits, who, you know, ends up with less. No, what's the longer term consequences of what you're going to do? And then finally, with the business model, again, there are 5 approaches. You have competing, collaborating, avoiding, accommodating, and I always forget that 5th one, compromising. The Thomas Kilman model is created on an axis of assertiveness and collaborativeness. So how much you are initiating action to resolve the conflict versus how much you are cooperating. Excuse me, it's cooperating, not collaborating. This is going to depend on how you want to maintain a relationship, how much you are determined to get your way and reach your own goal. Sometimes you may be willing to give up more. Other times you may be willing to give up less. Folks who are competing, it is one of those thoughts where it's either I win or I lose. So even if I have to give up a little bit of ground, to me, that feels like loss. And I'm going to fight you to get 100% my way. This often causes hurt to a lot of relationships. And it's not right or wrong. But again, we think about those long-term consequences. That may not always be the way you want to approach it. And the competing approach depends on you always having power. And when you lack power or you lose power, folks who remember, people got a long memory. when you think about the collaborating, right, this is where people are like, you know what? Yeah, I'm on my way, but we can work together to build closer to an all-win solution. Then when you think about the compromising folks, that's on the complete opposite end, they're willing to give up everything. And you have to be careful with people who are willing to compromise so easily, because when you compromise, you have to question why people are not willing to prioritize themselves. It feels good, especially in like relationships, like friendships with your boo. Oh, they always do everything for me. They don't never want nothing. They're so low maintenance. But why is that? Right? And why do you want to be in a situation where you always win and that other person never gets anything? That to me symbolizes or signifies an integrity issue. Then you have my avoiding folks and the avoiding approach. We're just going to leave the conflict alone. I don't want to touch it. I don't care about getting my way. I'm just going to be essentially like a lone wolf. And usually what happens is those people just do them on their own. But when you have everybody just doing them and we don't seek to do anything together or find any mutual win, eventually we're going to hit a point where all of those individual wins have to intersect. And usually when you go from avoiding to being thrown into something where you have to work together, folks then shift from avoiding to competing, because now I want to keep what I managed to win by just doing my own thing. And then finally, of course, you have your accommodating. So with the accommodating folks, these are people who are willing to give up a little bit, but they're not really going to push for it. They kind of waiting for somebody else to take the lead. But at the same time, it's like, I want to get to my goal. Those like milquetoast, lukewarm folks, you want to be careful with them people too. Because just like with the compromising people, why is your position, your opinion, your need not important enough for you to stand up for it? Because assertiveness doesn't mean aggression. When I'm being assertive, I'm simply stating, hey, this is what's important to me and here's why. And so I get iffy about people who don't want to stand up for themselves and who are willing to see too much, because I've found in my experience, and is at work in friendships and relationships, when people are so blasé and apathetic about getting anything they need, it probably means that they've already checked out. And when folks have already checked out, you want to be very careful, because them already checking out means that it's not worth it to maintain a relationship. And if you are dependent on them in any way, you're going to find that them checking out leads to you experiencing great loss, because they're gone. And that's very difficult to salvage something that nobody even wanted to step up to preserve. So those are the three lenses that I wanted us to look at conflict management from. As we continue these conversations over the next several weeks, you're going to see me approach it from the lens of different relationships. And I have a really cool movie that I'm going to be talking about in our Out of Scope episode to highlight the importance of appropriate conflict management. But I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts, your experiences. So, of course, be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Turn on notifications so you know when a new episode drops. And I will catch you in the next one. Bye.